living in a dysfunctional world, how to deal with it. What is dysfunction? Are you coping with dysfunction? How to cope with it? She's Beth Erickson.
Hi, Red. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Now, what's your full name?
My name is Beth Walsh Erickson.
Beth Walsh Erickson. So you keep the middle name.
I do.
Sounds good. There's an air of nobility to that.
It keeps the Irish people in check.
Beth Walsh Erickson there. Now, what is dysfunction?
Well, the way we're talking about it with the workshops and seminars that we put on, we talk about dysfunction as not non-function, meaning that, for example, a family unit isn't working, but actually dysfunction. It's working, but it's a little bit whacked out. It's a little bit off the beaten path. So people have to develop coping mechanisms so that they can function.
Okay, give us a for instance. Give us a story of dysfunction and then how to deal with it.
Okay. I'll give you a couple of stories. I'll give you two quotes of people that I actually interviewed to talk about dysfunction. There's a young girl named Emma. And she said, when we went to stay with my dad, he would lock us out and tell us to play outside so he could drink. And then he told us not to tell our mom when we went home. That's dysfunction in the family. And the dysfunction in this case is caused by the alcoholism of a parent. And so the children learn coping mechanisms. They have to talk to themselves, like, why would their dad lock them outside on a hot summer day? Or what if they were thirsty and they couldn't get a drink? Emma had to make up answers to those questions because nobody was there to tell her. Telling a child not to tell somebody something, don't tell your dad, that's dysfunctional. That puts the burden of dishonesty on a child. And they grow up bearing that burden for someone else. And they end up in relationships where dishonesty is normal to them. And so they end up in a marriage later on, or where maybe they're dealing with alcoholism or dishonesty as a way of life.
Oh, what a web we weave when at first we begin to deceive. We all remember back in school there was always the BS kid, the kid that's just, you know, well, my dad just built an oil well down in Texas, and we made $6 million last month, and then we're getting a new, I mean, everything about him until you realize this guy's his coping mechanism was to lie. And we all had someone. Do you remember somebody like that?
Yes.
I can't remember his name, but I remember there was one kid, you know.
There's a quote by George Bernard Shaw that I love, and it says that if you cannot get rid of the family skeleton, you might as well make it dance. So for that kid, the lying was making the skeleton dance.
He just embraced it. He's one of the, I'm going to go with this thing, and I'm going to lie, you know.
That's right.
Well, even look at Hitler. Hitler couldn't sell his paintings on the sidewalk. On the sidewalk of the government buildings in Germany, and yet he was a frustrated painter, but he just started to tell lies, and he started to believe him, and everyone else started to believe him, and you've got an idiot for the Führer.
Well, you've created a life that's not true. It's not based on anything, and that's what part of this problem with dysfunction is. We believe lies about ourselves, not just about the world around us, but
for instance.
I have like a list of like who are the people that live in dysfunction. So I'm going to tell you who, because I'm one of them. You're probably one of them, and probably
no.
Like I said,
my life is perfectly normal.
Statistics say that 90 to 95% of people in the world grow up in dysfunction.
Well, then dysfunction is the norm.
Unfortunately, it is the norm, but it's still something you have to overcome because you're using.
This is what we have to overcome.
Well, if you're starting to use roles and.
I say we have to overcome. You people that give these seminars and sell books. No, let's just leave it the way it is. And you guys have to go do something else. And we're just going to stay dysfunctional.
You know, 2 weeks ago, I was talking to Jeff Luther at the Sheriff's Department in Indian River County. And there had been 7 suicides that week in our town. You know, they don't report suicides usually in the
That's
newspaper.
Right. That's right. They don't. Only under unusual circumstances will they report. So we never know how many suicides are taking place.
This is dysfunction at its worst. This is people that can't cope anymore. The tools that they learned as children to cope no longer work, and they become weapons against themselves or against other people. So why don't I give you a few of these little who are we, the dysfunctional. So we're usually, the people that are dealing with dysfunction, we're usually in the middle of life and we're feeling overwhelmed about stuff that we don't know how to fix, and we're not even quite sure what the stuff is. We're unsure that we're valuable in the big picture. We compare ourselves with others to size up our standing. We're usually less than or better than. We often wish we were different than we are. We, the dysfunctional, are ashamed of our bodies. We're people who love deeply but detach regularly from our primary relationships because it gets too overwhelming for us.
We detach from our primary relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely
so
true.
So in other words, that's why we unload on those that are closest to us, but we get along better with those. When you meet a stranger on a bus, you get along better with them than you do somebody in your family.
Absolutely. That's a characteristic of dysfunction. We are people that are chemically addicted, we are eating disordered, and we're sexually challenged. We have issues in the primary places of our life. When I say chemically addicted, we think of drugs and alcohol, but the eating disorders, eating too much, eating too little. Chemical addiction can be smoking like a fiend. I have a friend right now whose sister has to have a mastectomy, and they're not sure if they can do the surgery because her lungs are so poor, and she will not quit smoking.
And I heard that you can also be addicted to anger.
You can be addicted to
a coping mechanism.
Right, to rage. To
I'm angry at the world. These people that write these vitriolic postings, you know, and for the local paper or something. You know, you see them, and they're constantly. They're addicted to it. There's something a little weird there. If you're one of those people and you listen to my show, but you love to hate me, then maybe you need to go see somebody to get emancipated from that hatred and that bitterness.
Right. Also, you can be addicted to religion.
Yeah.
Look at the people that flew into the World Trade Center. They were addicted to religion.
People hang around going, praise God, how are you doing today? Praise God, it's a beautiful day, praise God. I go, wait, come on, phony baloney. You're going to praise my boss upstairs. Go off somewhere under a tree and go, praise God. What's this stuff? Praising God ain't a punctuation between your sentences.
You know,
that's phony baloney. That's addiction, right?
Right. And the dysfunctional are people that will keep friends that mistreat them. They'll stay in relationships that they're women that are being battered, but they stay because it's part of their dysfunction.
Well, that's also fear, though. I mean, well, at least in the old days it was. Now we have more females in America that are gainfully employed than males. But at least in the old days, you got your mother, you got a child, two child, three children. This guy's winning the bread. What are we going to do? Go down and live in a cardboard box? So you take some bruises in exchange for the money. It's a horrible version of prostitution. How does a woman get the? Thank God for safe space that women can escape that. And forgive me, for the males out there, this is one thing that doesn't go reported too. There's a lot of abused males, physically abused as well as vocally abused.
Right, you're absolutely right. But these are all things of dysfunction. Usually people that are, often, a girl that grows up with an alcoholic father will often marry an alcoholic man. A girl who grows up watching her father beat her mother will often be...
She's got a male that will be sort of abusive because that's home for her.
That's exactly right. The addiction...
Oh, you're like daddy. You're kind of rough.
You're addicted.
Oh, you have a heart of gold in there. I'll stick around.
The addiction to the chaos, because the chaos is what we're used to living in, and we don't know. We develop roles and character traits to do it.
This is important stuff, because my personal belief is that it's all about emancipation. I believe God's all about emancipation. And we're not just talking about physical emancipation, but mental emancipation. How does one break free? I mean, even... being emancipated from, you got the mortgage, you got this payment, you got a business. I mean, how does somebody escape the shackles and chains that we put upon? Emerson had a great quote. He said, "We forge the chains that bind us." Think of a man at an anvil with that hot molten stuff, and he's banging out, hammering these chains, and then putting the chains upon himself. How many of us really, you know, mentally or physically put our own chains on ourselves?
I would say most of us, but I think a lot of it is learned. A lot of it is learned. We learn these lessons from not just from our families of origin, but also from the media and from our schools. We learn these things.
Okay. Emancipation coming up. We'll continue with Beth Walsh Erickson And we're talking about dysfunction, how you can escape dysfunction, and I can escape dysfunction. And so we'll be right back.